This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.incarnationcc.org. We thank you for listening. The following homily was preached on Thursday, October 31st, 2024. Vigil Mass of the Solemnity of All Saints by Father William Doc Holliday.
Be glad and rejoice, for your reward is great in heaven. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
This is the lot of all the saints, to be glad and rejoice that our reward is great in heaven. This is the communion of saints. This is everyone who is in union with our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we celebrate on All Saints Day. Tonight, as opposed to getting into the theological and the spiritual understanding of this whole thing, which we will touch on, I wanted to kind of go more into the foundations, because it's good for us to know, particularly on a major feast day, to understand why we do the things that we do and what they're all about. And, you know, that there's a method to the madness in everything we do liturgically. This day, All Saints Day, really, really early on, but not as we know it, in the 4th century, talking the 300s, there were already throughout the Christian world sporadic celebrations of the holy martyrs. These people who were giving their lives, not had given their lives, were giving their lives for the faith. They were venerated even in these times, in the earliest days of the church. And again, it wasn't everywhere, but it was very, very prevalent. And it was generally celebrated on May 13th. Early in the 7th century, it was more precisely honed down. And it was honed down with a feast titled the Feast of the Dedication of the Blessed Virgin Mary of the Martyrs. Even in those early days, again, early 7th century, we see the Blessed Virgin Mary being venerated as the Queen of Martyrs. So it wasn't just about the martyrs, it was the Blessed Virgin Mary and her place over them. This was Boniface IV, the Pope at the time. This next little tidbit is really good for us who are members of the Ordinariate, because it was the first time that was ever looked upon as a Feast of All Saints, the Blessed Virgin Mary and the Martyrs, but All Saints was in England and Scotland and a few parts of Germany in the 9th century, and it was held on November 1st. In the year 835, this feast on November 1st was made a holy day of obligation for the universal church. Everywhere the church was mandated, was not sporadic anymore. It became a day of obligation. And May 13th was suppressed a couple hundred years later. No more venerating saints or martyrs on May 13th. It will all be done on November 1st. Traditionally, after the Second Vatican Council, there were a lot of changes made to the calendar. One of those changes was made to where in the Novus Ordo Mass, the Feast of Christ the King comes toward the last. And there is some rationale for it. I'm not sitting here bad-mouthing it. I'm just saying it happened. Traditionally, however, the large feast days that closed the liturgical calendar was All Saints and All Souls. These 2 days were venerated because of what they are and whom they represent. All Saints, today, All Souls, Saturday. We see the close of the liturgical year signifying the unbroken communion with the church across the board. The church militant here, the church suffering in purgatory, and the church triumphant in heaven. this was the rationale for having this, the last feast days of the year, this unbroken connection with the entire church. Again, they both have their arguments, but traditionally and for centuries, this is what it was. So this is what we do today. We did it, and it's interesting. And I actually kind of switched out things. I generally don't wear the Marian vestments, but I want to make my point. And it is important for us to understand that our Blessed Mother has always been looked upon since the earliest days of the church as the Queen of Martyrs, as the Queen of Saints, because she is. She is due special devotion. This is something that falls on the deaf ears of a lot of people who call themselves Christian, but we as Catholics understand that the Blessed Virgin Mary is due special devotion. Why? Because we're Catholics and we know better and we think different? No. This is not why she should be given special devotion. She should be given special devotion because an archangel from on high came down and said, "Hail, full of grace." And it's just not what he says about her in this greeting, this salutation, "Hail, full of grace." It should be taken as, let's take a step back and look at the forest for the trees. Everywhere in Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, doesn't make any difference. It is such an honor for angels to show up in any given situation. Every time they show up, every single time, the people who are around when they show up fall on their face as if they were dead. This is what they do. This is what glory angels elicit from people. What an honor for an angel to appear. And here we have the Annunciation. The one and only time in the Scriptures, again, because there are the falling on the face things before and the falling on the face things after. But at the Annunciation, it was not a person who venerated and reverenced the angel with awe at their presence. It was an angel who venerated and saluted our Blessed Mother. That is huge. It is huge. An angel comes down and does obeisance to a human being. This shows that the Blessed Virgin Mary is due special devotion. If she's due special devotion from creatures from heaven, she's due special devotion here among us. That's a no-brainer. Sorry if that offends people who don't see this, but it's nonetheless true. The Holy Spirit speaking through people, like the Blessed Virgin, this one who was reverenced by an angel, "All generations shall call me blessed." Not all really pious Catholics who have a special devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. "All generations call me blessed." The Holy Spirit speaking through St. Elizabeth, "Blessed are you among women." This is the Blessed Virgin Mary. This is why she deserves. And it's not conjecture. It's a matter of fact. She's venerated from heaven. She should be venerated here on earth. She is the mother of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Even by human definition, when a king has a mother, she is the queen mother over all his subjects. This is the Blessed Virgin Mary. She is queen over all that our Lord is king over, and that's the universe. Hence the name Mary, Queen of the Universe. This is the Blessed Mother. And this is why in the earliest church that when there was a feast that was coalescing about all saints, of course, who is going to be the one who is placed above all the saints over whom she is subject? The entire church, the church militant, the church suffering, and the church triumphant. These different, they're not category, these different manifestations of the Holy Church at present is something that is, again, it's what we do. We are the ones who venerate the Blessed Virgin Mother, first and foremost, and then all the saints who exist. We know that the ones, of course, in the church triumphant are saints. We know that the ones in the church suffering are saints. They're going to heaven. Purgatory is not like a here, let me torture you for a little while and wait to see how things pan out. You go to purgatory, you're going to go to heaven. That's that deal. So when you get to purgatory, as bad as it may be, I should say as bad as it is, rejoice. Because everybody does, because they know they're going to go to heaven. Us, we're a little different. We don't know yet as to whether or not we are among the saints. Yes, I am, because I'm in a state of grace now. And if you paid attention to the readings today, I mean, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, our Lord Jesus Christ from his own lips, in the, you know, the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, blessed are ever. Listen to everything. Listen to everything. We know who those that are robed in the white are up in heaven. We know that the soul suffering in purgatory are saints. Again, there is a big question mark over us. There was not. I'm in union with Christ. Again, now, don't be presumptuous, because that's a grave sin. Don't be presumptuous on your salvation. We ought not be, because, again, we don't know about ourselves yet. That first reading today from Revelation chapter 7. The question is posed, who are these in the white robes? And that's a question that's posed to St. John. It's sort of like a test. James getting this vision of heaven. The white robed ones are before him. And one of the elders, a person who is a white robe guy, who are they? Only you know. These are those who have come out of the tribulation and have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. You know, some of your friends and other groups in Christianity, tribulation, that's the 7 years before Jesus comes back and calls everybody up to. Oh no, that happens before the 7 years. That's what, you know, all the planes fall out of the sky and all that's a very, very left behind kind of stuff. That is not the tribulation. The tribulation started when Adam and Eve fell. That's the great tribulation. The separation between God and this world and the pervasive nature of sin in this world with which we have to struggle. That is tribulation. This is why our Lord says little things like, in this world you will have tribulation. Not in this world for 7 years after I come back and snatch everybody, you will have tribulation. In this world you will have tribulation. Fear not, I've overcome the world. And even in the response here, these are those that came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. This isn't just people who live for 7 years after he snatches people. This is everybody. This is our hope. We hope to be these people because we are now struggling in the great tribulation. Look around you. We're not living in the tribulation. Man, I'm missing that one. I live in this world. I'm in the church now. Yeah. Yeah, we got a lot of tribulation going on, okay? We need to appreciate that. And it's great, and it gets greater and greater and greater. It's our hope that we persevere through this. If we persevere through this, we gain that white robe because we wash it in the blood of the Lamb of Christ. The second reading today, 1 John chapter 3. Everyone that hath this hope in him sanctified himself, as he is also holy. These are the people to whom St. John speaks as maybe saints. Everyone that has hope in him, our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose blood we wash our robes, sanctifieth himself, makes himself holy. This is a tremendous struggle. This is the washing your robe in the blood of the Lamb. Our robes are, to a lesser or greater extent, really kind of filthy down here. We wallow in the mud of sin. We play with temptations. We get our garments all messed up. We go to confession. They get washed. Then they get dirty again. Mine gets dirty before I hit the parking lot after confession. Yeah, that's just deal. Okay, so what do? Yeah, we continually wash them. You continue to wash your clothes, right, at the house? Yeah, wear them once. Oh, they're okay, I'll just keep wearing it. No, we don't do that. Kind of repugnant after a while. We don't do that. We're constantly washing our robes. This is what St. John's saying. Before he said, after he says that, he said, the world does not know us because it does not know him. They're not washing their robes in the blood of the Lamb. That's everybody's washed. No, it's not everybody. It's not. It's you. It's you in whom the Holy Spirit dwells. Okay, you are called to sanctify yourself, and it's a hard thing to do. That's the tribulation. This already not yet time, this time in which we are in this, as St. Paul says, in this earthen vessel. This is our lot right now. And while we're trying to wash our blood, you know, when we're trying to wash our robes, the world, they don't get it. They don't get us. You know, they come and they listen to what we had to, you know, here we are, the ones who love everybody, want them to come to Christ so they can spend eternity in heaven with our Lord and us. We're trying to get them to do that. And when they hear what we got to say, we're mean-spirited and hateful and all the other stuff that they like to say about us. Why? It says right here, they don't know you because they don't know him. This is the reality. And then our Lord in the gospel. Again, the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, blessed, blessed, blessed. Again, it was one of those times when there was a period put at something where there's not a period. The last verse that we heard read today from the gospel, it, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. That's not where it ends. For so they persecuted the prophets that were before you. Why did he tack that one on there? Because he just got done saying that blessed are you who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. This is the reality of our lot here. We are working on it. This is the end. This is why we venerate these holy saints, whether they're in the church suffering or in the church triumphant. Those two groups of folks have proven themselves. They are saints of Holy Church. And when we, it's sort of like a you scratch my back, I'll scratch your kind of thing. When we venerate them, particularly the souls in purgatory, remember that for Saturday. Hope you can come to Mass on Saturday. But next week, for the whole week, we can gain plenary indulgences for the holy souls in purgatory under the normal conditions. You can get a plenary indulgence every single day for the holy souls in purgatory. You do that, and you spring somebody out of purgatory because of your prayers, finally, your intercessions, your suffrages in Mass. If that happens, you don't think for a moment that that person's not going to reciprocate and start praying for you, that you may just possibly get to be where they are, even if they're still in purgatory. You're probably going to go, oh man, nobody wants to be here, but you ought to be. This is kind of scary. As horrible as purgatory is, a person who knows their faith should rather be there than here. The only thing that this place has going for it is the fact that it's easier to expiate sins here than it is in purgatory, because you cannot do it yourself in purgatory. You have to rely on other people. And down here, we can do it ourselves. And it takes a lot less to do it down here while we're washing our robes in the blood of the Lamb than it is up there. When we get your robe, it's just really tattered, and we got to clean this up. That's purgatory. This is All Saints Day. This is why we do this. It is because of our unbroken communion with every member of the church. Those whom we know are in there, and those of us who are hoping to be there. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.